John 8:44 says, speaking to a group of Jews, Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Right? This is what Jesus said about the enemy. And I titled this sermon, Native Tongue. Native tongue. Bless the Lord. So, this statement that Jesus made concerning the devil, supposing that when the statement is made, we're considering that there are positions in the world that might not be honorary, diplomatic, or moral. You can be, this is what I'm saying, you can be anything you want. The sky's the limit, right? Jesus is saying the devil speaks lies. He's the father of lies, right? Now you want your kids to grow up and be successful, right? We all, depending on how we still have aspirations. Some of us, I know I'm old, and they're just all the things I wanted to be are cast to the side. I mean, really, you know, we'll ponder. We have that bucket list, and we'll ponder things right that we started, and that, one day I'll get that started again, or whatever the case may be. But you start getting older, and people start dying. And then you start seeing the kingdom as serious, right? And then you know you're dying, you know. And so you kind of want to prepare yourself for this kingdom to come, set yourself up for things above, right? Then your desires start to take a back seat. And then the desires of the Lord will start to prevail. Bless the Lord. It's the work he's doing. If we let him, he'll do it in us, right? Or we can hold on to those old things and still try to bring those to fruition. But that's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We're supposed to seek the kingdom and all its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. Now, this message might not hit home with the young people who, you know, I want to get mine and show my ability and my skill, be praised and retire early, you know, and all of that kind of sort of thing. We were there, you know, well, I can't lie and talk about lying. So I just told you guys yesterday where I was. Mine were minuscule hopes. I just wanted to have an apartment with my best friend across the street, and we give parties with drugs. You know, that was my forecast and my outlook. And this was my hope when I was like 13, you know, 13 years old. So, you know, I was on drugs to have a hope like that. Right. So, and that's what I wanted. So they were minuscule, but I do understand that even in that, somehow I expected that life would turn out okay, that I could have that and still be successful, right? And manage a drug life, you know, like it's manageable. And so, yeah, so, you know, and it's nothing wrong with with preparing our kids to be, and the youth to be, successful, you know, but the goal is really Christ-likeness. And if you're going to be successful with a goal to please Christ, you're successful because he determines your success, right? It's the truth. It is. So the Lord is like, it might not look successful to the masses, but to me, you're trying to please me. Your success is so that you can please me, then I'm going to be pleased with you where no one else may be. I'm going to showcase you in front of the world because you're seeking my kingdom and all its righteousness. And he will. Yeah. If he doesn't give you accolades today, your name is written in the book of life and you'll be spoken of throughout. If you die today without any accolades, believe me, your legacy will go on in his name. You get what I'm saying? That's where it matters, because that's an eternal legacy. It's not, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Bless the Lord. I got to find another statement. Bless the Lord. And I say it like this. Is that okay? All right. Even with that Barney Fife kind of slang, not that. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. No, okay. I swear I hate listening to me, but I have to listen to me in order to get this together. So the goal is not the position, the yacht, the land, the gold, the girls, the Lamborghini, the mansions, etc. We've been conditioned to believe success is proven by luxurious material wealth and power heralded by the world, a world that ups the ante for the next and the next. Imagine the wealth is never ending. It's always increasing, and there's always enough to make billion, trillion, and gazillionaires. This planet has enough resources that everyone should be billionaires and trillionaires. You get it? It's really weird to think about, but we should all be satisfied and content, right? And then when you look at the statistics, and I think I said this before, that, you know, the world's most wealthy people are really us. Because in the percentage that we're in, right, there are people that fall so short. They're wishing they had a bus system in their country. And we want a car. You get it? They have to walk and get the water while we can turn it on. We're actually very wealthy. Yeah, compared to, but we seem to think, and the enemy has lied to make us believe, no, wealth is super rich. Bill Gates' wealth, you know, and see, it's a lie. And this is what he does. He lies. He's good at it. Bless the Lord. We need to make a living, but we need to do so knowing that we're living for God. In other words, make a living. You know, you're living what you're making. God's going to give you. You're a child of God. He's going to give you enough to survive. If it's not in your payroll check, he's going to provide someone to come see about your needs. You know what? You're breathing right now because it's happened. Right? So even when you were making money, you couldn't get up to cash your check. Somebody came to see about you. So the way God does it is that, look, we're going to be happy with, we're eventually going to get to the place where we're happy with what we have, believing that God is going to do what he wants to do with what we have. In other words, you know, don't look to have more to seek his will. Right? Okay, so, yeah, all right. So now this is an easy, but let's get this in our hearts. Let's ask the Lord, write this truth in our hearts. It's because it's truth-worthy. It's heart-worthy. It's worthy to live in there. That, you know, it used to be, yeah, even in my drug craze, I wanted the Lamborghinis and the gold and all this stuff. I wanted all that. You know, who didn't? Drug addicts want to be rich so they can get high. Right? So you know, the more you have, the higher you can get until ultimately you just check out. You check out high and rich. And then all your riches are left behind. So the pursuit of money is really not the goal. And the pursuit of fame and fortune is really not the goal. He's famous. And so we need to highlight him. The Lord is famous and he's rich above measure. And then when we realize that we are really children of the King of everything, we realize we're rich. We've heard that before. My father has riches and gold. Oh, I'm rich. I'm a child of the King. People go too crazy with it. You get what I'm saying? But the bottom line is that we really are. But we need to live like Jesus. We need to live like Jesus. Right? Bless the Lord. We need to learn to live like Jesus did. Oh, you know, he didn't come here and pursue money and wealth and fame, but he had enough for everything that was needed. Go give this to Caesar. Here, go give this to the innkeeper. You get it? It was just enough. And did he really need money? I mean, he can feed you without money, right? He knows who he is and he owns everything. We need to know who we are. We need to get it. Because our Father owns everything. He's not going to give us a rock if we ask for a loaf of bread or a snake if we ask for a fish. He's going to give us what we need. And he wants us to be appreciative and show gratitude, right? Gratitude. Bless the Lord. You belong to your father, the devil. That's a bold statement, right? Jesus is saying clearly, we see there's a distinction going on here. Some do and some don't. You Jews, those ones that he was arguing with in John 8, they actually had the voice of the enemy. You can recognize it. We can recognize it today. But sometimes if that voice sounds attractive to us because there's something involved in that voice, we'll overlook whose voice this is and then go on a pursuit. On the wrong pursuit. Right? Jesus isn't playing. You belong to your father, the devil. We have two different fathers available to us. We grew up with an imposter. Okay? We grew up, and I'm not talking about a biological father. I'm talking about this imposter that has, he's worked his way through, permeating through the minds of people since Eden. Right? So he's not the father that we're supposed to ascribe to. Okay? He's an imposter. We were kidnapped, so to speak. Look at it that way. We were kidnapped. Bless the Lord. Right? So let's look at it like that. And then, like, if you see the talk shows where someone was kidnapped or whatever, and then, you know, their imposter father is telling, coming clean, they don't want to leave. No, you've been good to me. You're my real father. Right? You have to understand, this other father or mother, who's ever there that's been longing for you for forever, wants to show you, he ripped me off. You belong to me. Right? It's been a lie from the beginning, our beginnings. So we've grown up listening to this voice that has become our native tongue. Okay? All right? We know how to lie. We learned from the imposter. Okay? All right. So, I mean, really. And he's in there working in the children of disobedience, which we fall into that category quite often, even without thinking. If I wanted to argue a point like people do, they're constantly refuting God today. Because if he was really alive and really cared for me, why is so much negativity going on in my life? Right? Why would he let someone kidnap me? You know, why would he let this entity take over the world? Why didn't he? You get those questions from non-believers all the time. You get it? And it's what it is. What we're hearing is a request that is filled with the native tongue, filled with it. It's like, okay, what we're listening to is a question that is to lead you away from the truth, right? So I do believe non-believers pose some questions because they want to get an answer. Then there are some that have made it a life goal to refute Christianity. Any question needs to be deciphered. We can't let the enemy lure us away from our faith. This is why we stay in the truth. If we don't stay in the Word of God, we're going to be lured away. It's familiar to us to grow up in a society, in a community, in a city, in a state, in a nation, on a planet that has been saturated with lies. It's easy for us to fall back into that category. Lying sounds good to us if it's selfish, if it's going to self-satisfy, if it's going to give me some kind of gratification. Right? And so what I don't want to do is fall for the ploy again and again and again. How do you refute the lies? There's a combination of things we need to pay attention to here. Okay? It's one thing that I say to myself, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to start telling the truth. You know, how important is that I tell the truth? It's pretty important, right? But I could become a master at telling the truth and not necessarily be telling the truth for the Lord. Okay? I'm telling the truth. So, it's the truth. Okay? Because my truth, how the kids are saying it now, that's your truth and this is my truth. There's some truth in that because God's truth is different than my truth. See, I need Him and His truth to be what I confess and profess. Right? Does this make sense, Ann? Okay, so hear me now. Because if I just give you my truth, I'm confident that I'm telling you all I can. But the Bible says my heart is desperately wicked. deceitful above all things. Now, I need to believe that, or I need to believe that's a lie. I don't believe that's a lie. I believe that I need the truth of the Lord to share with you and you and you. And in like manner, you need to give it back to me. We need to give it to each other. Okay? Otherwise, we're working against the will of God. Yes, it makes perfect sense that you have some truth when, you know how I pick on y'all? It's not just you, Wynn, but I like to pick on you. But you know how I do. So, but you know, it's the truth of the matter is that, look, his truth is different than our truth. Okay? I'm telling the truth. His truth is different. We can get the truth from this God of ours, this Father of ours that's saying, come to me. I'll give you all the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Look, the truth will set you free from believing in a lie. We've been believing a lie for a long time. Right? Even believing that, you know, all my diligence, all my study, and all of this kind of sorts of stuff is all I need. We need God's truth. We need the truth of God to saturate our hearts. And then we need to go forward sharing his truth. How do you get this truth? You have to ask God. It's as simple as that. I think this is what I need to share, but I'm not sure. Search my heart, oh Lord, and know me. Find out if there's any way in me that's not like you. To search my heart and know me. Tell me, Lord, take me on a journey through my heart so that what I'm about to share is what you want me to share. Because I could tell the truth, but I'm omitting things that you would rather have me say if I don't consult you first. Now, who can't ask God in here? Raise your hand. Okay, we have access to God. This is God. Okay, look, our Father owns everything. He created everything. He's so meticulous. He put your eye in place. And all the coordinates need to be in place for you to see at the same time. It's called irreducible complexity. If anything's missing, you're blind. He can do that and make universe with galaxies upon galaxies and the sun come up at the right time and the moon to shine at night and even there be light without either. This is God. We have the right to enter into his throne room of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Look, we can enter in. There's benefits in line. We've all benefited. Let me see, look out and see who's benefiting right now. Edna benefited last week, so let me look. There's benefits in lying, okay? I got my wife lying. You know, she didn't want me, you know, so I had to tell a little lie or vice versa. You know what I mean? Then, you know, that was my premise. But then along the line, once we're all hitched up and stuff, she ain't leaving. We got too much tied into each other. I lied to get this thing going. Right? You know, I got a job lying. I went in there and lied. No, I never worked for Northrop. No, I'm sorry, but sometimes you got to do it, you know, because you got to get the job, you know. So I got big, big money from my income tax return. You know, big money if you lie. If you lie, you're going to get it. You want the money? Go ahead and just, you know, no. You can fudge everything and come up with everything. There are benefits to lying. I don't have to tell you the repercussions of lying, right? So you're spending your, look, you can't even come to church because the IRS is living in your house. You know, they won't let you leave. Okay? Right. So, you know, you lie. Look, we've lied. And if you think about it, we'll lie again if we don't surrender our right to lie to the truth. Bless the Lord. People are lying to the masses right now, you know, telling them, you know, the health and wealth gospel. You know, they're lying. And you know, then they're so good at it. Look, we would be as good as they are if we stayed in that abductor's house. You just continue to grow in your experience and training in the lying region. You just continue to perfect this lying gift. It's second nature. It's just second nature. Right? And so, and this is what happens to us. So, if the people are preaching health and wealth, you know, you should be healthy, God wants you healthy, you know, then we have to discount Joni Erickson Tada and that guy with the no hands and the just flippers, Suki something, Susie, whatever. We have to discount blind people. We have to just, look, because God didn't heal them, but he used them. And that he's going to still use them. And they're making a point that even though I can't see or I can't walk or, you know, I'm paralytic, you know, whatever the case may be, I can be used by God more than the liar. You see, the liar discredits God. I can be used by God. Right? Paul had some affliction. Timothy was sick. Come on now. All right. So we got to get out of that. Look. We may have to die for God. And look, we're going to die. Die for the Lord. There's plenty of poor people that attest to God. I mean, you know, you don't have to have money to attest to God. You can do with your 50 cents what other people could do with a million. But if your pursuit is to get a million in order to do with it what you could do with 50 cents, you're not first seeking the kingdom. You're seeking your own pursuit. This money thing is going to be the fall of a whole lot of people. This lie, God wants you rich. You're already rich. It's true. Bless the Lord. We are rich. We're rich in comparison to third world countries. We're rich in comparison to somebody right in West Oakland right now. We're really rich because we have on tennis shoes today. We're rich people. We're rich in heaven, where eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what he has in store for us. He says that, look, my reward is with me, right? And then I'm going to give to each man according to what he's done. That's a big reward. But for us, that's way over there, obscure. That's, you're talking about end time stuff after I'm all ashes. And stuff, right? The preachers are going to come. They're going to lie. They're going to lead away the masses. They're wolves. They're going to lead us away and tell us, no, this is a, if you know, if you were really, well, it's a, the reason why is you don't have faith. Then Paul didn't have faith. He complained about his affliction. He didn't have faith. Right? Bless the Lord. We'll do almost anything to gain this dying world. We'll kill, steal, and destroy like our abductor. Okay? All based on the lies he's got us believing. And we won't refuse lying to get others to believe we're worthy of the honors bestowed on all the liars before us, while dying to obtain even greater honors than those. Okay? Continually seeking, it's an insatiable desire. If you get this hunger for fame or notoriety or money, it's endless. Okay? The only person that can cap this thing and stop this thing is God. So we're not asking God, oh, stop me from being money hungry or fame hungry. We're asking God to make me like your son. Right? Make me Christ-like. I need to be like Jesus. Look, I said last week and everybody shut up. You know, that all the social revolts that are going on and everything, you're going to shut up again. Here's what was Jesus doing. Let's go overthrow Pilate today. He's against our race. And they're killing some of us. All right, this is not Jesus's gospel message. Right? We're not supposed to ignore anyone suffering in any way. But we have a gospel to deliver to the nations. It is more than this life. It's the life to come. Don't miss the life to come. Bless God. Bless God. Bless the Lord. He was a murderer. This is what Jesus said. He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay? Look, we were all down in Hanford. It was just a year ago. Doesn't seem like yesterday, right? I mean, my mom died just a year ago. It just seems like yesterday. And we were down there. And then I was speaking, and I remember saying, and I said this again last week, that, you know, lies bring death. Okay, so look, in everything that you lie about, expect at some point the truth to come out and the depth of that dream of yours to come to pass. Okay? Yeah, I lied to her and she stuck with me for a little while. But you know what? This started to unravel because I didn't expose my secret. Right? And when she found out about my secret, she looked over my shoulder one day, you know, and found out about my secret. You get it? Something that I kept from my other half, right? When she found out about it, what did she recognize? That's a sign of death to my marriage. Those are death signs. Things that are coming, they're being revealed later on when they should have been revealed on the onset, are signs of death. Okay, then you have a choice. Let me remedy this. I wasn't looking at porn. You know, let me remedy this, right? That's not the remedy. That's a lie. So it's not just by any means. What we want to do is we want to realize that the lies do bring death, death to the jobs, death to the homes, death to the marriages. Death is because the lie was involved in it when you were putting it together. This is why no liars will enter into the kingdom of God. He built his house on truth and not a lie. Right? So if you're lying in there, there's a lie. It's like poison. It's like a little bit of leaven that's going to destroy the whole lump. Right? Okay. He can't keep a promise to a concave that there's going to be no more death in heaven if he lets Dorothy or give me some names. If he lets Tristan come in lying, it's not going to happen. I've got to keep the lie out because I promised you life, even life forevermore. Okay? Bless the Lord. Okay, so that, look, God is serious about it. And we need to be just as serious. The Bible says to stop doing wrong and learn to do right. Well, that means you can learn. You can learn. I had to learn about drugs. I had to learn about sexual addictions. I had to learn about it. But that's not enough. Right? That's not enough. Because outside of God, I just have a lot of knowledge and a lot of struggle. Right? Well, the Lord will keep you from crossing these boundaries. Because you're turning it over to him. You'll start recognizing right away that, you get it? I'm telling you, but without God, you've got the knowledge and you're depending on yourself. Oh, I can go over there. And then you can, but don't go tomorrow. You get it? Because they see, you thought now you're more confident because you went over there. So now you're going back tomorrow like, oh, see, I've got this. No, the enemy is subtle. He's a liar from the beginning. There's no truth in him. This is his native tongue, right? We've got this agenda of his. I'd say his fallen nature that we could, you know, revert back to. And what we don't want to do is make that a habit. We really want to, and I'm not just saying lie, I'm saying sinning. But we're talking about lying, and so now we have to understand where this lying came in. Lying is so important. This is how the fall came. I mean, it came based on a lie, right? It's so important. Your family will fall apart based on lies. It's important that we be honest and forthright. When I went into recovery, they were talking all this honesty stuff. I wanted recovery, so I started being honest. But it was not enough. Okay, you can master being honest till you get to the place that you're checking off places you were honest in front of people. You get what I'm saying? With a dishonest heart. It's the heart that the Lord is trying to transplant. Right? Bless God. All right, so look, yeah, you busted me. I'm looking at the wrong stuff here. You're right. And I'm wrong. I'm going to quit. I'll never do it again. That's not God's truth. That's me coming up with some truth. How are you never going to do it again? You know, obviously you've been doing it way before we got married. Right? this might be an addiction. You think you need some help. You think you need some counsel. You need some accountability. Do you need the Lord? This is what you need. You confess to me, that's fine. But I'll spew you out. In other words, Jesus is saying what? Hot or cold? Lukewarm, I'll spew you out. Cold to me is really, I'm not going to change. I enjoy this, and this is my room, my office. So would you just get out because you're interrupting me? That gives her, I'm pointing at your way. Let me tell you, that gives Irma, my wife, a right to leave me, right? In other words, I'm not saying that start divorcing your husbands start divorcing your wives. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it really much puts a definition on what's going on here. You were cold. If you were hot, it would be, I'll do whatever it takes, Lord, to save my marriage, right? And to keep my wife and to come clean, not only on this, but for everything that ever comes to surface, right? But lukewarm is, yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it to you again. And I say it again tomorrow and the next day. And then, oh, I'm so sorry again and again and again. You know, I can't help it. Pretty soon as I don't know what to do. You know, you've got to understand. It's not that I don't love you. Well, it looks to me like you don't love me. Right? It would look to her like you don't love her. Okay? Because you don't love God, you can't love me. If you love God, you would get from God what it takes to love me. Right? He's going to give you a love the world doesn't know. He's going to give you not an excuse to get out, but the truth that's going to set you free from the thing that's destroying, that's murdering your relationship. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Now, since the liar is a murderer, God will not allow a liar into his kingdom. I said that. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things of these likes. I warn you, you're not getting in with that. All right? But we say, washed in the blood. Yeah, faith. We're washed. We're clean. Right? Think about it. All right. I don't know what you are. What I know is that this is what the word says. Okay? If you ignore God when you hear his word, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous place. So, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Right? Okay. Look, we don't want to play around here. What we want to do is please the Lord. We're believers. Believers lie. Unbelievers, they lie. Right? People are lying. We're lying all around the place. Last week I was mentioning some of the lies. You don't think you're lying? You're lying when you tell the telemarketer you're not home or he's not home. It's the truth. It's a lie. But you're tired of the phone ringing. There's a way to do this. Okay. Don't answer the phone. I should have the right to answer the phone. Well, answer the phone and tell the truth. Yeah, that's me. All right. Don't lie. Don't start lying. Okay. So it says here, Jesus said also, the devil's not holding to the truth because there's no truth in him. He's truthless. He can't hold to the truth if he wanted to. Look, he lies about everything. Bless the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Now, there might be some use of truth to get that lie out there. But once you season that lie, I mean, that truth with a lie, right? You have the working of the devil. And right, this is his plot and his plan. So John 8 says, Jesus was going back and forth with the Jews. John 8 says, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you're the son, that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? This is what the Jews said to Jesus, right? The Jews also said to him, we know that you have a demon. And the Jews said to him in verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old and you've already seen Abraham. Jesus was explaining to these guys that they are liars. And he's telling them, you're like your father, right? That's his native tongue. That's your father. I mean, if somebody came and told you, you know, oh, your father's the devil, that would offend you. You know what I mean? That's your father. Okay, so they started retorting, coming back. What were they coming back with? Lies. Slanderous lies. Devil means slanderer. That's what it means. He's a slanderer. He's going to set you up even to look bad. Don't lie and let him see you lying. He's going to drag that thing out. You'll have, look, a Christian career ruined that you'll have to recover over time if you recover at all. You get it? So where you had an audience, it could come to a point where he's just another fake hypocrite, demagogue. You don't want to be caught lying. Bless the Lord. Look, lies can be repetitive. You don't have to go to rehearsal to learn how to lie. It's something that just comes naturally. Because we come from unnaturalness, right? Okay, so I don't have to beat that horse to death. But I like what G. Craig Lewis said that, you know, the jingles. The first part of waking up is... Right? Okay, everybody knows that. Even the kids were singing it. They ain't drinking Folgers. But the point, what is the point? See, alright, this is how the enemy works. This is one of his ways, okay? He'll implant stuff in your head. Don't tell me he won't. That TV's playing in the background. The soap opera's on. And Jesse is going to Myrtle's husband and telling Myrtle, the husband, he wants Myrtle. And Myrtle's husband, well, if she loves you, then I guess she can go with you. I just want you to be in love, have love. And you're listening to that and, you know, out the side ear because you're doing whatever you're doing. And you're saying, I guess that's right. Love is love. Okay. All right. Look, there are messages coming across the airwaves. You have to guard your ear gate. You have to guard it. All right. Look. This whole fast has been about, look, let's listen to what we're, let's pay attention to what we're feeding ourselves. Bless the Lord. I mean, for real. So we have to be smart in that. You can't just come tell me anything. You cannot tell me you go into the store, planning on buying a little something, and they start playing Do's It or Dad's Band or something, and you're just moving all of a sudden. Well, let me stop. I should stop. People looking at me. You can't tell me it didn't happen to any of us at some point in our lives. All right. Music has a strong influence over us. Because why? It was the enemy's job in heaven. That's what he did. He made music. And God even references his music in Ezekiel. Your vials. I don't know what those are. But pipes, I guess, you know. Music was just coming out of you. You know, that's why churches get so infiltrated in the choir area and the singers are great singers and stuff. They have no character that you can depend on, character flaws after church, but come up and sing and blow the roof off. You know what I mean? And then you go see them and so much homosexuality is in there. I mean, I'm telling the truth. Okay. It's because the enemy has a good working going on where it comes to music. And he knows how that music will get in our hearts and mess with our minds and make us belong to him in our actions. And we'll at least look like we belong to him. So you know, we can't, it's hard to not move to the groove. This is where we came from. Okay, it's the same with the lying. It's where we came from. Okay, so look, this is what I turn to my tools of youth whenever necessary to get out of trouble. I'm not worried about them. I'll go into the meeting. I know how to deal with them. They don't know that emphatically. And this is something else they don't know. So I'll say no. That's a lie. You see, God wants me to go into the meeting like a lamb, ready for the slaughter. Because if he doesn't deliver me, I don't need to be delivered. Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, you do not need to be delivered if God doesn't deliver you. It's the truth. Quit trying to fight your own battles in this regard. You done lied all up and down the street. Now you start telling the truth. I'm a liar. I've been lying. I'm so sorry. You can cry like Kenneth, what's the guy named? Jimmy Swagger. I have sinned. I'm not making fun of him. I was. So I'm going to quit lying. But, you know, I can't. How can I preach this? And look. So look, I cannot preach this. It's hard to preach. Okay, you can't even lie. So what we need to do, what do we need to do? We need to turn to the Lord who can help us with this defective character of ours. Bless the Lord. Success. I'm ending. Success. What is it? Success? What's success? Success is hearing fellow members discuss what they got from the sermon here. Right? Okay, so look, think about it. If we come in and it's enough that I would say, oh, that was a great sermon. But if I came in next week and said, you know, I never thought about those rich people bringing all their money, the sorcerers bringing all their money. You taught about it in San Leandro, remember? Okay, so I never thought about that. That was, they were rich. They were rich. And I pondered that and I looked up those guys and, you know, and I looked up about it and stuff. You want to hear that. This is what you want to hear. That is success. Okay, in a church that's struggling with people that are taking the gospel cavalier. Okay, this is not a show. You don't come down to be entertained. There will be some entertainment. But if you're not going home studying what you're learning, you're wasting your life. Bless the Lord. Come on now. So if somebody comes out and asks you, well, what about last week? You should have some answers. This is how we need to dialogue. Think about it. It's our duty to learn the Word of God. Right? Then we can pass on what we've learned. Okay? That's success to me. To me, that would be a successful mark in a church. Success is the testimony of lives and lifestyles changed no matter what it looks like. We stopped waiting for the situation to turn ideal and we gave up everything, hindering God's move in our lives for Him. The transgender movement thing is crazy right now. You can't identify a baby. We were just talking about this. You can't identify a baby's gender. You can't do it unless the baby decides. So the biological anatomical makeup of the child when the child is born, whether he has the genitalia, that's not a boy until he feels like a boy and says that. Right? Listen, the world is waxing worse. Right? Look, success. Look, here's some success. We gave up everything. I'm a morphodite. Hermaphrodite. I'm not, but if I was. Yeah, hermaphrodite. Okay, well, I don't know. I can go between genders. You know, I got some of everything. Right? No, I think since the fall has caused all this debilitation and, you know, and disease and all the things that come from the fall, this just happens to be an area that I'm afflicted with, perhaps. But I'm going to live my life out for God, just like the guy with no arms, just like Joni Erickson Tata, just like the blind man, just like the poor person. I'm going to live my life out for God. There is some truth in what God is telling me versus the people that are telling me, you know, you should pursue that. There's a prosthetics. You can cut this and engine, but do that and, you know, mutilate yourself and be the person you want to be. You know, that's a lie. It's not about you. It's about you in your broken, wretched condition. Honoring God. This is what it's all about. I'm not going to do this. Never had a husband. It ain't fair. Never had a wife. This and that. It's not fair. No, you can do for me with your life anything I told you you can do or set you apart to do. Otherwise, you're calling me a liar. God didn't, look, you didn't live with your defects just so that you could go in the corner and sit down and cover your head. You can honor God with them, and then we're ashamed because we're not honoring God with our defectlessness, lack of defects, right? Bless the Lord. Success is believing that even my confession is limited and void if I don't ask the Lord just what is needed to confess. In other words, these confessions that I make and stuff, my drug addiction, my past sexual life and all this kind of sort of stuff. Look, I could get up here and say anything. I need to hear from God. Well, how do you do that? You ask. You ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to convey today? Not just up here, but when I'm talking to Gretchen. Right? Not just up here, but when we're on the phone talking to B. Success is a community of believers that fast together. Success is our prayer, our confessions, our praying for one another, our singing and praising and praying God last Friday night. That's success. That's success. Okay? Success isn't measured by what the world thinks. Oh, droves of cars were spilled out in the San Pablo Dam Road. No, success is we had this thing Friday night that matters to God, that moves his heart, that pleases the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless God. That's success. We need to start seeing what is success to God. Success is giving it all to God. You know, some of us could possibly, I've been looking into it. I don't know about you guys, but we could possibly even retire and stuff. It might be, I don't want to because, look, there's more money to be made or whatever the case may be. But if you ask the Lord, it might be that he wants you to so that you can take whatever money it is that he has for you and further the kingdom. You get it? You can go to work more for God, right? Not that you're not working on your jobs. You know, I'm not saying that. But it's like, no, look, we need to consult the Lord about every matter. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we're going to be left thinking, well, he gave me this job. He wants me to make millions. You know, the Lord wants me to make millions, you know, which is a lie, but not necessarily if he did want you to make millions. There are rich people that believe in God. Joseph of Arimathea. He was very rich. Right. We got those. John Wesley was rich, riding around on a horse. Look, he said he didn't want 10 pounds found on him when he died. You get it? So some are going to be rich, some are going to be poor. In both categories, we can serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, some are going to be healthy, some are going to be weak and frail. In both categories, we can serve the Lord. Bless the Lord. Just look, with what we have, we're able to do it with what we have. He gave you what you need to serve him. Bless the Lord. All right, so I'm going to pray.